This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:43 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezriel, and we are talking about Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, who has been slated, and well, according to party sources, to be the next opposition leader.
That's right.
Taking up that mantle once again. So we're going to have this conversation now in depth together with Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good evening, everyone.
What are your thoughts on the likelihood that Anwar will lead the opposition again?
Well, I think the fact that you've got these party reports indicates that the jockeying for who is going to become the opposition leader has begun. And it's gone in a very typical fashion that we saw under Pakatan Harapan, is that they take their differences and then they take it out into the public arena. And of course, as we know, it was this jockeying that really hurt Pakatan Harapan, and it continues to affect Pakatan Harapan in terms of its perceptions. Now, the issues at the core have to do with the longstanding challenges between Anwar and Mahathir. And I think these matters have not yet been resolved. Anwar has the support of the most MPs in the opposition as a whole. That's Bersatu and Pakatan Harapan, including his party, PKR. Although his party, it is important to note, is not the largest party. It is the second largest party after the DAP.
And do you see this as something, you know, the decision to for Anwar to become opposition leader, that something that all components of the opposition would have agreed to, or might there be some disagreements brewing? Like from the top of my head, you know, I understand that the DAP has cozied up to Tun Mahathir in unexpected ways over the last 2 years.
But I think also that the relationship is shifting and changing. And I think what the challenge for the opposition now is to have the right leadership at a very difficult time for the country in terms of crisis. And I think this has to do with the electability of Pakatan Harapan. It has to do with the effectiveness of the opposition as a whole. And, of course, it has to do with what the sense of how they're going to be positioning themselves in terms of leadership for the country. So, for example, if you put in Anwar Ibrahim, then who's now the deputy after Anwar Ibrahim? I think these sort of questions come up. It's clear there is a disagreement. I do not think that it is a decided fact within the opposition as a whole who should lead it. And I think we're beginning to see in the media reports of the initial stages of some of the infighting going into the public arena. And I think this is extremely damaging for the opposition, because it seems to be, send a signal that they're focused on themselves, their egos, as opposed to the economy. And there is actually a sense that they're not focused on dealing with formulating constructive opposition issues for addressing the public.
Right. And let's say he does become the head of the component parties, the leader of the opposition. How will that compare to his time from 2008 up till 2015 to this potential next time?
Well, it's a very different time, okay? I think from 2008 to 2015, this was about mobilizing the political base, bringing more people inside the base for Pakatan Harapan. And this had an adopting a very kind of attacking culture, polarizing the electorate, trying to pull people from the center. The mode of operandi was really to channel negativity, to adopt a very takedown culture, you know, to take down the other side. This is some of the typical patterns that the opposition has operated in. And we've seen some of that in the ones they've been pushed out of government most recently, but there are other elements that are being more silent. I'm not sure that that's going to work as well and as constructively in a current environment where the time is in a crisis. And so if you attack too hard, you're seen as making the situation worse and not making some constructive inputs. I think there is the shift is to having competence, resolving problem solving, having some constructive but a dialogue at the same time raising issues, but finding a way that is a different types of behavior and pattern, and to not move into the traditional narratives of racialized politics, takedown culture politics, which of course were very prominent and helped Thaksin Harapan come into power in 2018. And I think this really the current context puts a situation where Thaksin Harapan needs to raise its game, and it has to, and to a certain degree, what's going to be at play is not just the individual who leads the opposition, but the team as a whole. And in particular, I think Malaysians are looking for younger leaders to raise constructive issues and substantive issues on some of the problems the country are going to be facing, and that they're already facing, and it's only going to get worse. It's about presenting quality leadership. And of course, this is something that is a real challenge, because across the political divide, there's a lot of anti-politician sentiment, because the politicians are seen as being part of the problem, not part of the solutions that people are facing.
You know, just on that note about, I guess, the some parts of the public wanting younger candidates, wanting younger politicians, I guess this still seems to be a problem in both Perikatan as well as Pakatan, where that succession plan, that pipeline isn't just as clear. Would you say that's accurate?
I think that this is also accurate in the context of Pakatan Harapan. I mean, I think one of the challenges Malaysia has faced is that it's all been around very senior leaders and not necessarily about a regeneration of different actors and a broadening of the political representation and outside of people who are seen as the kind of regular players. And in the political parties don't give space for younger leaders to emerge. And I think this time of a crisis allows those who are competent, who have constructive inputs to come to the fore. And we've seen quite a bit of that in terms of some former Pakatan Harapan government officials have now made very constructive inputs in this particular period of time. Others have been completely silent. So I think that it's useful to look at how new leaders are emerging and what their contributions are.
Now, Dato' Sri Mukhris Mahathir is expected to challenge Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin for Bersatu's party president post later this year. What impact will Bersatu's elections have on this whole situation?
Well, this is the first major arena. I think there are two things that are happening that are going here. The first is that there will be this one-day session on May 18th, and so they will have to have a leader of the opposition. So this is the politicking and the resolution of this issue is coming to the fore. And then subsequent to that, in June, of course, this could be put up with COVID-19, but in June, there's supposed to be the Bersatu election. But right now, as you point out, Mukhris will be contesting against Muhyiddin, but it may not revolve that way. They may one pull out. They may not. They may not go against each other. And I think both sides are negotiating with each other, but also with other players in the political process. Keep in mind that Muhyiddin's government has a very small majority, if that. And as a consequence, there are constant outreach efforts to strengthen that majority and actually strengthen the government as a whole. I think it has been pretty clear that Muhyiddin has made outreach towards Mahathir on multiple occasions, and I think Mahathir has made it equally clear about the issue areas and the red lines that have to be addressed, which of course affect the issue of certain relationships of individuals and certain individuals within UMNO, which those lines have been very clearly delineated. And of course, this is where it's at a stalemate in terms of these relationships. And I think, at this point, if the election seems to be held in Bersatu in the current context, Muhyiddin will probably face a situation where he probably will win the leadership. But the problem is not the leadership. It's all the other parts of the Supreme Council and other positions in the party of which Mahathir has a lot more control over. But I still think the election is playing itself out. And the opposition issue and Mahathir's role in the opposition. And there might be something evolved where you could see two opposition players or leaders, or we can see a role for Mahathir. I think the negotiations have not yet resolved itself. The jockeying has happened. And that may also spill over into the Bersatu conflict and Bersatu election.
Right. In a statement to The Star, Tun Mahathir confirmed that he'll be sitting on the opposition bench when Parliament convenes. So with this in mind, where do you see his role coming in with regards to PH? I know previously you mentioned that the issue of, you know, who will be the dominant force on the opposition bench will first have to be sorted.
It will, but keep in mind that in many countries, they are many benches for the opposition, and I think that there doesn't have to be just one. We see in the UK, for example, smaller parties such as Bersatu have their own representation and own leadership, and they do play a role in the process. So it doesn't have to be one versus another, and I think that this is going to evolve. And I think Tun Mahathir has played a role. He's been relatively quiet in this period of time in the last couple of months during this crisis. But he's very important in agenda setting and raising concerns. And the fact is that everything he speaks about gets widely reported. I think the question becomes whether or not that moves away from the personal discussions to more substantive issues about policy. And we have yet to see some of those issues to take a lot more substance so far.
Right. And just looking at the political parties overall, it seems like most of the major parties are, well, at a state where it's quite fractious, or at least there's quite a bit of infighting. We see that with UMNO. I think we're seeing that as well with Barisan. We're seeing that with Pakatan as well as Bersatu. You know, what does this mean in the larger political context?
Well, look, the reality is that these parties are deeply fragmented. They've been fragmented over issues of personality. They've been weaker. Many of these people have joined politics because they've entered politics for themselves, not for the public service and for the people representation. And they using the issue of fragmentation, many of them to their own advantage, that not everyone, but some of them. And this has really created a context of political instability. And this really has undermined the current government and the previous government. So both this fragmentation has been a persistent feature, and it reflects the weaker political parties, and it reflects the lack of adequate statesmanlike leadership across the political divide. And I think this is something that people are cognizant of, and it really puts a challenge to all of the political leaders to step up their game in very important ways. When we look ahead, we see these issues of governance, alliances, quality of leadership as being, you know, really essential areas to look at as the country moves forward. And for right now, the parties are so weak, and the leadership itself has also, unfortunately, has not risen to the occasion as people would be expecting across the divide. This has really made these factionalisms even more powerful because no one has the majority in the scene to the legitimacy to govern.
Could we say that at this point in time, it might be PAS that might actually be the most stable party?
I would have to say that all the political parties have serious issues inside of them and factionalism. And I think that in this context, if we had to look on a degree of scale, I would say probably PAS and DAP have issues. But their party elections are going to be a year from now. The parties that are having the most factionalism openly in the contest are definitely Bersatu because of the election coming up, and UMNO. And I think the UMNO has at least four to five factions, multiple independents, and that has been a very, an important dimension of what's happening in terms of creating that uncertainty and instability that Malaysia is facing right now.
Right. Now, Bridget, while we're under the MCO, you know, that doesn't mean that political maneuvers are not being made as we speak. So what political developments do you think we should be looking out for even as we continue this MCO?
Well, I mean, everyone is aware that they're going on and having negotiations. They're solving questions of leadership. The Bersatu struggle has been playing out in the arena. Now the Pakatan Harapan and opposition struggle and with Bersatu is also playing out on the arena. I think many of these personal problems of alliances and others are really many people are just fed up with this politicking. And so the more that they continue this type of politics, the more it actually undermines all of the political parties and the leadership of those political parties, because they're seen as being focusing on themselves as opposed to the ordinary public. I think what most Malaysians are looking for is governance and leadership to get them through this very serious crisis that the country is in. While the numbers in terms of the health cases seem to be going down, the economic and socioeconomic implications of what's happened or what's happening are actually, you know, intensifying. And there is, I think, an over-bullish, over-optimistic sentiment about what is happening in terms of being able to return to a normal. And there will not be that same normal in the context of the reality of what is coming, because the world has changed. And at the same time, globally, there isn't leadership in China or the United States or European Union and other areas to provide the kind of leadership to go through the crisis, as well as the fact that there is also weaker leadership in terms of domestically and then also in the region. So I think that the politicians themselves have to recognize that their governance challenges are going to be also much harder than they were in many ways before the COVID-19. And the expectations and the needs to address those are going to be a different reality. There is a new normal, and it means that the politicians themselves are going to be constantly playing catch up, and they will use different narratives, and that's something to watch for. And they will be tested constantly. And this government is facing a lot more scrutiny than any other previous UMNO-related government in the past. So it is going to be a very challenging time for political leaders. Leadership.
Bridget, thanks so much again for speaking with us.
Most welcome.
That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Tomorrow morning, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim will be on The Breakfast Grill, so make sure you tune in. We'll be asking Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim his next moves, if he can still work with Tun M, his lack of succession plan within PKR, the difficulties of winning the Malay vote, and many, many more. You can listen live right here on BFM 89.9 or also on our app, which you can download on the Apple App Store or Google Play. We have the 6 p.m. news coming up. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.